This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Peggy, let's hit him big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez and Reggie Atitula. Always live.
Love it. Love it.
Always local.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Happy Reaction Monday to you. Texans get a victory right here. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, Reginald Atitula. Where, Figgy, I feel like there should be one person who specifically lays out what the Texans had happen yesterday. I think you know who it is. Let me hear it.
AFC South champions 2 years in a row, Brian.
Yeah, but you guys are back in the...
It doesn't matter what it looked like. Back in the playoffs. Looking forward to the playoffs.
Exactly.
Go ahead. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
Yeah,
doesn't matter what it looked like.
Doesn't matter what it looked like.
You got a AFC champions back to back. Your Houston.
Give me my Texas T-shirt.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah, I need that. I need that expeditiously. Congratulations to Houston, Texas, getting a victory, 20-12 over the Miami Dolphins at home at NRG Stadium. You heard that right here on Sports Radio 610 yesterday. Man, it feels good, doesn't it?
It feels really good. It feels really good. Shout out to Bill O'Brien, and you know, you guys know this. I'm the one that says, you know, division championships are important, but you got to have higher aspirations than that, higher standards. And
this is not the time, Lopez.
Yeah. No.
Come on, man.
But this division championship, the way it happened yesterday, kind of gives you a little more hope. Maybe not the hope you thought you were going to have coming into the year, but a little more hope overall.
Okay, well, yeah. Let's get going here on a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday, a Texans Victory Monday, and of course an AFC South Championship Monday. Get involved with the program, first and foremost. The Twitch and YouTube both open for you. And then, of course, the text line, 713-572-4610. Like, was this the most complete game that the Texans put on paper for you? Because, I mean, you talked about the way it happened. I think that that also, when you're talking about spinning this thing forward, trying to see what this means going forward, and then also, obviously, the way that the championship, the South, AFC South Championship comes together, that's an important question to ask.
Was it the best game of the year?
Right, that's basically what I'm trying to get to, and I think, what are your contenders when you immediately jump
Buffalo
out and think about it? Like, right, Buffalo game,
yeah.
Okay. The Detroit Lions game, even though you ultimately lose that, I think the style of, caliber of play, I think,
that
ends
was a
up.
Half, though.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a half. Here's why I think Texans fans have a little better hop in their step today. This was practically perfect in terms of how you're going to win moving forward, because the other part of this is, You know, you're coming off a bye. You needed to make some adjustments. You needed your stars to shine. And in just about every way, that happened. Just about every way. We'll get to the maybe the little nitpicking later or whatever. But your stars, Danielle Hunter, badass. Will Anderson, C.J. Stroud, Derek Stingley, Nico Collins, badasses. And then you got Christian Harris back. That is one bad dude that was sorely missed. And then I think the overarching thing here, Reggie, this is a defense that can win games. This is a defense that flat out has won games, wins games, and makes quarterbacks look really, really bad, especially at NRG Stadium. This was just about complete. You also got C.J. Stroud with glimpses. And you and I were talking about this in the press box when we were watching the game together in the first half. And like C.J. Stroud gave us those glimpses of special C.J. Stroud. Now, you can't say, oh, what a game. You know, he just dominated. Hey, Josh Allen, look out. You know, all that stuff. But he gave us glimpses of what it needed. Nico Collins, the best receiver in the NFL, arguably. And I think right now, if you look at the
breadth. You're doing that one after this game, huh?
No. After what we've seen.
Okay. I was like, all right.
All year long.
I was like, how many yards did my man put up, right? Like, and I'm not blaming him for that, but it's just. I was like, okay, this is not the week where it makes it easy to do that necessarily, even though, right, he has the two touchdowns, which are very important, but 17 yards on four receptions, right?
But he's the guy. I mean, he's the guy that gets it done. So it's just about everything you want from the Texans in this type of game. And I think they have that template. They have that path of how they're going to win these games.
So you're looking at this as a template. I don't know if I go that far.
Like, I absolutely think so.
Okay. Like I think that the defense clearly shows itself to be mm-hmm. an incredible defense. In fact, let's go back to the earlier part of the season where that one of the hopes that I had for this defense, and I think more than just me, like more people out there, turnover defense.
Mm-hmm.
This team is third in turnover differential. In the league, like that, this team, you clearly could take the football away. In fact, one of the things, I don't want to get to the negative portion of this yet, but like one of the things that was nice about this game is offensively, you didn't do a ton, but you didn't have to because your defense gave you great field position with multiple mm-hmm. turnovers. Right, you have two interceptions from Derek Stingley. Kalen Bullock adds another one. Defensive line. By the way, let's go ahead and ISO real quick for me, mm-hmm. if you don't mind. Defensive line. I'd like to speak specifically to you, Danielle Hunter. Will Anderson Jr., go ahead and add Foley Fatukasi, Tommy Togiai, Tim Settle, all you fine folks. Danico Autry, don't want to forget him. My bad. I came into this game like, look, man, that Dolphins team, they get the ball out quickly. I know that those tackles are, you know, going to be out for them, but I don't know how impactful the defensive line could be in this one. And they were like, bleep you, Reggie.
Yeah.
And you know what? I appreciate you for that, right? Like, especially even the turnover play, the forced fumble that you get, right? That is the whole defensive line coming out here and showing up. You got, it starts with Danico Autry, just bull rushing up the middle. Then you get, who was it off the end? It was it Will Anderson coming off the end?
Oh, with the strip sack?
And the strip sack.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you end up with Danielle Hunter almost picking up the ball for a scoop and score. And then Tim Settle actually falling on the football to make sure that you get the turnover. The whole defensive line was like, bleep you, Reggie. You know what? Thank you for that. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Well, this is a team that, again, this is the template. That's why I say that. You've got the defensive line. Let's look at individual sacks. Right now, as you're looking at them, Danielle Hunter is second in the NFL in sacks. Will Anderson is sixth. They have two of the top six players in sacks. Then you go to the secondary. Derek Stingley, whew, I mean that guy is just making play after play after play, five interceptions. And then you look at the other thing that's big in this game for me, making the plays at the biggest moments. Derek Stingley more than anything. Fake punt, shout out Frank Ross, in a huge moment to get going in the third quarter. Those sacks, the stuffing players, in the fourth quarter, in the second half, when frankly, the Dolphins had a little life. Like, it's not just making the big plays, and the defense can turn you over, as you've talked about a lot, but they make them in the biggest moments. This is the template. This is how this team gets there, and that's why I think Texans fans need to be pretty dang excited about
it. Yeah, I feel like you should also personally be excited. You got a bottle of wine coming your way.
Got a bottle of wine, baby.
Yeah, yeah.
Not just any bottle of wine.
What is it?
Camus.
Man. All right, very good. Yeah, I still
Camus.
Don't.
Just make sure it say Camus on it.
Yeah.
Not Jameis.
That's right.
Yeah, but Christian Harris plays in this game, and not only does he take the field, he plays, what, like 80% of the snaps?
82%.
And it wasn't, you don't get 82% of the snaps if you out there stinking up the joint. Like, he looked more ready to play than I would have imagined. Mm-hmm. And it was so helpful in this game, because one of the things that you kept bringing up during the first half of this game was that you saw Miami getting the ball to the flats and trying to get the ball to their, you know, guys in their speedy guys in space to go and do things. And having him along with other linebackers, like, and I mean, just the entirety of the defense swarming and moving in those, moving laterally. Man, it made it very abundantly clear that this team can take away most anything that you're going to put on the table. Mm-hmm. This defense was impressive. You mentioned the special teams getting that big moment where they pick up a huge chunk play on a fourth down, keep things rolling, give you an opportunity to go score. And the offense did just enough, right? You ended up getting scores in the end zone. And both of those plays, right, you started talking about this, both of those plays were C.J. Stroud feeling a little bit more comfortable, feeling a little bit more like what we expect from C.J. Stroud. Like, I felt I had a little glint in my eye, because that was C.J. Stroud with time to throw, C.J. Stroud, maneuvering the pocket well, C.J. Stroud feeling a little bit comfortable in that space and having a little bit of time. That's something that we have to talk about with all of this. And then finding in the scramble drill, finding target receiver number one, Nico Collins, in fantastic ways. Like, that was one of the things that was comforting that made me go, huh, maybe that guy's rejuvenated off of the R&R of a bye
week. Yeah, because it wasn't just, like, it's hard to, like, you can't put a number on it. There's no stat. There's no data. But you can tell when you trust your vision, when you trust your eyes, when a quarterback is running for his life out of trouble or finding time and stepping up in the pocket or stepping out into the flat. And that was the difference. Like, he wasn't just, I mean, it you had to see it to know it, you know. It was like, he wasn't running for his life. He was finding time. He was, you know, balanced. Obviously, good technique, good form, stepping up, finding Nico, finding other receivers. It wasn't by any stretch by C.J. Stroud. But as I said at the very beginning, you could see the C.J. Stroud we know. He was on the field.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Yeah, and that's what made me feel like this was one of the best full games. Plus, as you mentioned, right, or maybe you haven't mentioned it yet, I'm just preparing for the frustration. The messaging that D'Amico Ryans has put out there landed all the way around, because what did they do in this game that sometimes they have some issues with? They finished it.
Oh.
Right? They closed this football game out. And, of course, it helps with some of the circumstances of the game being ahead and those types of things. But they went ahead and they made sure to finish this game out strong, closing the game with an interception to make sure that you keep Miami just far enough out of arm's reach to get it done. Like, that, you know, it's evident, man, that this team still plays with a level of vigor, a level of energy that was that means that they still believe, well, not just believe, but that they still, like, fully are able to buy in and translate that to the field with the messaging that's coming.
And out. I feel as if we've seen this and heard all about this swarm thing. I feel like there were several plays where, you know, I think I turned to Sean at one point and I said, now that right there is swarm, where it was a little dump off on the right. Dude cut up to the middle, and there were four Texans just closing.
That was Devon Achan.
That was Achan, yeah. I couldn't remember exactly. And just four Texans just absolutely swarming. I mean, you got a defense. You got a defense that can do some things that other defenses just don't do. You've got CJ showing those glimpses. How much does he improve from here? You know, we will parse out some of the you know, I said practically perfect. It wasn't perfect. There are some things that can change and get better. Yet, you know, we would only hope. But overall, it's like, here's the thing. Is anything going to change about this squad in the next 3 weeks, in the next three games?
That's a good question. And, I mean, defensively, I don't think that you're looking for more change other than,
no, that's going to be the defense the rest of the way.
Right. And I think that was probably the most encouraging thing. Of the things that you saw.
But here's the important part. Right? This is going to be the offense, too. They came off a bye week, and I guess we'll do it here because we just brought it up. Still couldn't really run the ball. Bobby Slowick still couldn't really you know, fine. You mentioned Nico Collins and some of these other play calls. Still quite couldn't quite do it. But
they did
know,
spread it around.
But they spread it anything. Around. The offensive line was okay. You know, they had their moments where you're kind of shaking your head, but overall they were okay, especially when it comes to pass protection.
Yeah, pass protection was, and the offensive line presented this whole weekend. The offensive line presented so many interesting things to like try and parse through, and we'll try and do that later in the show. But you get the musical chairs, right? You mm-hmm. get Titus Howard at left guard. You get Blake Fisher, the rookie, at right tackle. And it felt like they acquitted themselves kind of well, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I was saying,
it's like, okay.
I can't wait to actually get into the All-22 film mm-hmm. today and get a better look at that.
Yeah.
But C.J. Stroud, literally in this game, I was just looking up this stat. C.J. Stroud had the third highest time to throw this week.
Mm-hmm.
And you had Chop Robinson. Now, this offense, or defensive line, rather, is not incredible at applying pressure. But Chop Robinson, as an individual off of that edge, especially against a Blake Fisher who was just coming back into this after not having a lot of instances starting. Literally, only one other instance starting on that right end. That was against Buffalo earlier this year when Titus was out. And he handled that fairly well. He had some lapses later on in the game. I think Chop got him, especially. There was one instance mm-hmm. where Chop gets off the ball like this, right? Right when the ball is snapped, and he is able to beat Blake Fisher. But for the most part, this five on the offensive line gave C.J. Stroud an opportunity to throw the football. And he had the time to throw, just evidenced by the simple numbers of it. Third longest time to throw in this game. That felt encouraging as well, right? Like some of the things that have been factors factors in the offense not necessarily being able to get to the place that they want looked a little bit more encouraging coming off of the opportunity of self-scout and a little bit of R&R for the team. And I think that's where I have a little bit of optimism to your question of are there instances or opportunities for some of these things to get better? It feels like yes, but I also
I'm a little
you
got
to put rubber to road. We're getting real late. Like it's getting early late at this point, or getting late early rather.
Yeah, I'm a little different on that. I think this is the offense. This is what they're going to do. They came off a bye week. They were going to make some adjustments. They made some moves on the offensive line, and they still weren't overwhelming. Here's where I am optimistic with the offense. There were some drops, a couple of crucial drops. One by John Metchie, I believe Dalton Schultz had a drop.
Dalton Schultz had one. I'm interested to see like what other people look at, because there was like a 3rd and 15 mm-hmm. in the first half where Nico Collins kind of is headed down. He's trying to return back to coming back towards C.J. Stroud, and he's going down to the ground and he doesn't get a handle on it. I felt like it hit him kind of in the chest, maybe almost in the face mask. I kind of look at that one as a drop, considering his status as a wide receiver. Yeah. But yeah, there were some instances where you had opportunities and completions that you just did not make off of drops.
Yeah, so that's where my optimism is. You have C.J. Stroud clearly taking a step in the right direction, clearly the much more confident quarterback, and some receivers that had some drops. Maybe, as that gets quote-unquote cleaned up, as they like to say, the offense can more than carry its load. But I keep going back to the what was it called, Figgy? The not the kickoff party or whatever it was before the
season premiere?
The season premiere.
Season premiere.
I keep going back to that because, there were some defensive players on the stage with Mark Vandermeer. We're sitting there, having our discussion and having a pop or two. And they made it very, very clear. I think it was Jimmy Ward said, they were asking about the defense because there was all this hype about the offense and the five-headed monster and C.J. Stroud and MVP talk and, Stephon Diggs coming in and all that. And Jimmy Ward very clearly said, no, we think we have a defense that is going to win some games. But this was before the first game ever kicked off.
Yeah.
Said, no, we think we have a defense that is going to win some games. They've won a lot of games.
The defense
has won a lot of games. They won yesterday's game. They will continue to win games. And that's why I say, fingers crossed on the offense, but this is what we have to expect the rest of the way. And if this is what we expect on the defense the rest of the way, they're going to have some shots.
Yeah, but not to do too much of this, of like comparing one sport to another, doing the crossover here. I do wonder if that is that. What concerns me a little bit is, hey man, you're talking kind of Rockets like, where it's like, hey, we're going to play lockdown defense, and then we're just going to try and squeeze enough out of the offense. And yes, that can get you some wins. Clearly, the Rockets are doing a good thing there, and obviously, you saw the victory that the Texans acquired yesterday against the Dolphins, 20-12, to get them to 9-5, and ultimately, with some other circumstances, give them the AFC South title. But how malleable or how much margin of error does that give you, right? It feels like a very narrow path to victories. But at least what's nice is that it has been proven as a path to some victories.
There have been teams that have played exactly the way the Texans have played. And maybe we'll get into this more specifically tomorrow. But there have been teams that have had the exact template that the Texans have. Turnover, opportunistic defense, shutdown defense, pressure on the quarterback defense, with just enough offense to get it done. There are teams that have done that and been built like that and played like that that have gone a pretty long way.
Yeah, but when we're talking about defense at that point, and maybe this is something we ultimately take a look at and see if we can get an idea on, usually if that's the path, your defense has to be historical, like a all-time historical level defense. Mm-hmm. I would love to go back and look at some of the metrics and see if that's where this defense is, because it doesn't feel quite like that. It does feel like one of the best in this league, mm-hmm. like an elite defense, but all-time historic type defense, it doesn't feel quite like that, which is why, hey, offense, let's pick it up just a little bit.
Some of those historic defense, the defenses that went a long way, didn't have a quarterback like C.J. Stroud that can dial it up in a given moment.
And you had a couple of those moments. Those touchdowns both represented moments where C.J. Stroud had dialed it up.
Yeah.
And ultimately, man, for the moment being, right, we can still embrace the idea that you got a 20-12 victory. The Houston Texans 9-5. It feels good. And there's some other news around the league that also gives you a little bit more optimism for some things that you could see in the final weeks of the season. But again, Bill O'Brien, you want to let me know what happened yesterday, just you know, so we can be on more of a celebratory tip once again.
AFC South champions 2 years in a row, Brian.
Yeah, but you guys are back in the...
It doesn't matter what it looked like. Back in the playoffs. Looking forward to the playoffs.
Exactly.
Go ahead. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
Yeah. Looking forward to
what
the
What was
playoffs.
Funny about that, Brian T. Smith wasn't even asked. He was asking something totally different.
Totally different.
Yeah.
He had
doesn't
that
matter.
In the barrel.
Doesn't matter what it looked like.
He had that in the barrel.
You need to hold that one. A back-to-back AFC champion, Houston Texans, and it's a victory reaction Monday here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. It's going to be a fun one as we keep going. In fact, let's keep going with this. Coming up next, the OG's passing thoughts. We'll do that next on Sports Radio 610.